Today with Joseph Prince.
The law condemns the best of us. Grace saves the worst of us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 is true. The strength of sin is the law. If that is true, the opposite is true. The strength of holiness is grace. God can't wait to bless you. God can't wait to come and invade your life with His blessings and goodness. My message today is I want to give you a title, and I seldom give titles before I preach, right? You all know that. And I'm going to give you a title now. Okay, it's a very tame title. It's called, What in the World is Going On? That's my message. What in the world is going on? There's a whole lot of shaking going on, all right? All over the world. Whether it is not just the financial institutions, we know that is very clear in the papers, in the media, every single day, all right? Every nation is being shaken. Things are being shaken, all right? Financial institutions, only one. But there are all kinds of conditions and situations in our lives even that we find a shaking is going on. Amen. Things that we used to rely on, we cannot rely on anymore. All right? There seems to be a shaking going on. And people are asking, what in the world is going on? Especially these few years. Amen. And I'm telling you, it is good news. It is very good news. All right, but before I come to the good news itself, I'm going to show you the foundation and then you understand why it's good news, okay? God has good things in store for you. Your future is very bright. Like a smile on the Lord's face, all right, when He looks at you. All right, because your future is very bright. All right, God has good things in store for you. I know my thoughts towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil. All right, to give you a wonderful destiny. Amen. Look at this in Psalms 11. David, in three short verses, I just want to touch on this. David says, in the Lord I put my trust. All right, he must have been going through a trial when he said this, because somebody said to him, and David challenged the person, how can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? In other words, people are telling David, go run to your mountain. Run to your stronghold. Mountain represents something that you trust in, something big, something tangible, something visible. All right, he says, run to your banker. Run to your money lender. Run to this person, that person, or whatever for help. All right, but David says, in the Lord I put my trust. And David is coming under attack. All right, maybe in your life right now, the devil is attacking you, like verse 2. For look, the wicked bend their bow. That's the enemy, the devil. All right? They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. The Bible says the enemy, the devil, he shoots fiery darts. So you have wrong thoughts about people. All right? You have thoughts that come to your mind like, you know, nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. He just shot a fiery dart into your head. All right? A thought comes in your mind, I'm a pervert, all right? Where did the thought come from? And you should use the personal pronoun, I. It makes you think that the thoughts you have is from you when actually he shot the fiery dart into your head, all right? You look at somebody and they are talking and the devil shoots a thought saying they are talking bad things about you, all right? He put thoughts in your head and then he wants you to accept those thoughts. But remember this, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest. Don't come to me and say, Pastor Prince, you see, nest on my head. Can you pray for me? All right? You can't stop birds from flying, but you can stop them from building a nest. You can't stop the devil from shooting thoughts in your head, but you don't have to obey those words. You don't have to say those words out loud. All right? Thoughts of worry, thoughts of care, concern. All right? All these are thoughts of fiery darts. And then the Bible says this, verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's talking about us. The devil wants to attack your foundation. Because if your foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's not a verse for the sinners. It doesn't say, what can the sinner do? It says, what can the righteous do? Righteous is you and I, child of God. Amen. Amen. The devil is attacking your foundation. Foundation is all important. Because we can do all the right things for the wrong reasons. I say again, we can do all the right things for the wrong reason. There are people who come to church, all right, to be close to God. That's the wrong foundation. You come to church because you are close to God. And you are close to God because of what Christ has done. Amen. And now you're a child of God. Amen. Praise God. Now, we declare by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed, not to be healed. We declare that because we are healed. Amen. So your foundation, the premise from which you proceed to do an action, all right, or to say something or make a confession, is all important. The devil is attacking foundations, all right? The foundation of the righteous. Because if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? So we come to the foundation and we look at Hebrews chapter 12 now. Follow me now. I'm building a case and then we'll see what God is speaking to us very clearly today. For you have not come. Now, Hebrews chapter 12. The Holy Spirit said this. You have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest. Now, this is Mount Sinai. When Moses and the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, all right, the Bible says God descended on Mount Sinai to give them the Ten Commandments. The interesting thing is that when God descended with fire, all right? And yet, there was darkness, there was blackness, there was tempest. Usually when there's fire, there is light. But instead, there's fire, but there's blackness, there's darkness, and there's tempest. It is a very depressing sight. It is a terrible sight. It's an awesome sight. It's a frightening sight, the Bible tells us, when God came down on Mount Sinai to give them the Ten Commandments. And that's the reason why when people go back to the law, inside their souls, they feel a darkness, a tempest, a depression. They feel like they are still on a mount that is shaking. They feel like their whole life is shaking, all right? Listen closely. God's going to set you free today, all right? So you are not come to this mountain. The first line says, you have not come to this mountain. Aren't you glad? You have not come to this mountain where there is fire, but there's darkness and blackness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words so that those who heard it back, that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Look at the next verse. For they could not endure what was commanded. If so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight. I must stop here because I felt the Spirit of God just check me by saying this. If under the law, at Mount Sinai, when God gave the Ten Commandments, God didn't even allow a beast to touch the mountain. Do you think today you can touch the law and be under the law? No wonder believers are being shot with an arrow, with fiery darts. They are touching Mount Sinai all over again. And they are being shaken. Because the divine decree is that any beast or man touching the mountain will die. Be shot with an arrow. We expose ourselves to fiery darts when we try to go back to the law. Look at Moses. Moses is the best of the entire nation of Israel. God himself said of Moses, no man is as meek as Moses in all the earth. So we got the best of men here. Look at his reaction to the law being given. All right. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. His whole being was like this. His song was shake, rattle and roll, shake, sorry. But he was trembling. This is no laughing matter. He was trembling. He was exceedingly afraid. Moses, the best of them, which goes to show what? The law condemns the best of us. Grace saves the worst of us. Amen. So there, this mountain of Sinai, which is an awesome, terribly frightening mountain, all right? Darkness, tempest, blackness belongs to this mountain. Then it goes on to say, but you have come to Mount Zion. All of a sudden, the sun shines. The darkness is gone. There is no blackness. There's no tempest. There's no darkness. Amen. You have not come to Mount Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. So God is there. Later on, you'll find that Jesus is there. And angels, you cannot count for number. They are there. But just now when you read Mount Sinai, all right, even though we read in the historical account, God came down, but here, God is not mentioned. So in the New Testament, God has moved mountains. And some Christians are still stuck there. Some people, worse, they are trying to bring Christians, believers, sons of God, back to the mountain. This mountain is the mountain of a servant. Mount Zion is the mountain of sons. Can I have a good amen? Amen? When God gave the law on Mount Sinai, do you know what happened at the foot of the mountain? 3,000 people died. Why? And even then, under law, God was merciful. God waited 40 days after the law was given before 3,000 died. You know, those who promote the law as a means of holiness, They only have to read the account when the people of God, people of Israel said, all that God commands us, we can do it. You see what happened at the foot of the mountain? Next thing you know, they built a golden calf. That is idolatry. The very first commandment, thou shalt not commit idolatry. Thou shalt not make graven images of God. They built a golden calf and they worshiped before the golden calf. Those who advocate that the law promotes holiness only have to look at the example of Israel. And they did it in the very presence of God, the lawgiver who just gave them the law. Which goes to show, 1 Corinthians 15 is true. The strength of sin is the law. If that is true, the opposite is true. The strength of holiness is grace. Amen. You better write that somewhere, church. All right, I am for holiness. Where I differ from some people is how to reach there from here. They believe it's by the law. I believe it's by grace. Amen. All right, now you see what happened. After 40 days, all right, the Bible tells us 3,000 people died at the foot of the mountain. God gave them space 40 days to repent. All right, they died. How many died? 3,000 died. Now, that was the first Pentecost. Say first Pentecost. Pentecost is the word 50. 50 days from when God delivered them from Egypt. God put the blood, and God told them to put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. That was the first Passover. All right? 50 days from Passover. All right? Or rather, 50 days from first fruits. The very same week of Passover. First fruit, count 50 days. You are finding yourself with the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. So that's why I call it Pentecost. So Pentecost to the Jewish people, until today they still celebrate Passover. They call it Pesach. And they still celebrate Pentecost, 50 days. They call it Shavuot. You ask them why you celebrate Pentecost, they will tell you the giving of the law. God gave us the law. But you and I today, we celebrate Pentecost because God gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, it tells us for the day of Pentecost had fully come. Say fully come. Because we'll come back to that word, why it says fully come. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. All right? Note these words. Rushing mighty wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. This is the day of Pentecost. All right? The first Pentecost, Israel was at the foot of Mount Sinai. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the first celebration of the giving of the law. But when the day of Pentecost in the New Testament comes, it's a different Pentecost. It's a true Pentecost. And it's not the giving of the law. It's the giving of the Spirit. And there is no darkness. There is no blackness. There's no tempest. There is no fear. The Bible doesn't say they all tremble. They were all sitting down. All right, let's go to the account of Mount Sinai now. Let's go to Mount Sinai, shall we? Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings. Aha, in the morning. In the morning. I used to wonder why they celebrated Pentecost in the morning. Because in Acts just now, you read when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Remember that? Fully come. You know what time was it? 9 o'clock. Because the people all were filled with the Holy Spirit and they went out. And the people says, are these people drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? So at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is strange. I used to read that and I wonder, most Jewish feasts start at 6 p.m. the day before. All right? Jewish day, even you go to Israel today, it starts at 6 p.m. the day before. But Pentecost starts at 9 a.m. And then the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come in the morning, then God sent the Holy Spirit. Because God is showing them, all right, the first Pentecost happened in the morning. When God gave the Ten Commandments. So let's follow the story, all right? There were thunderings, lightnings, and a thick cloud. All these are emblems of judgment. They're all emblems of judgment. Now, we don't find this in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost for the believer. We don't find lightning, thunderings. What we find is a rushing mighty wind. You know why is there a rushing mighty wind? You know why? You know it's a rushing mighty wind. Show them X again. All right? There's a rushing. Say rushing. Because God can't wait to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I said, God can't wait to fill you with the Holy Spirit. God can't wait to bless you. God can't wait to come and invade your life with his blessings and goodness. Amen. Rushing mighty wind. It's like, I've been waiting for a day like you, Pentecost. God is waiting. Y'all know that hymn, huh? It's a very old hymn. All right, rushing mighty wind. Okay, it's not a hymn. Now, it filled the whole house, whereas on Mount Sinai, it didn't fill the house. Say house. House speaks of what? Family. House speaks of father, children, family. Amen. Whereas on Mount Sinai, all right, it came on a mountain. And where were the people at this time? Look at Exodus verse 17. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All right, they stood at the foot of the mountain. They were standing at the foot of the mountain. In our Pentecost, the believers' Pentecost, in Acts, all right, they were all sitting. I said sitting. Whereas the people of Israel, servants stand, children sit. Waiters serve, children sit. Stewards serve, all right? Moses was a servant. Jesus is the Son. Amen. Amen. We are not followers of Moses. We are followers of Jesus. Amen. Moses is a shadow. Jesus is a substance. Amen. Amen. Now, there's something I want to point out to you. It says, back to Sinai, thunderings, lightnings, and a thick cloud. Say, thick cloud. The first time this word appears, thick cloud, is in this very same chapter, an earlier verse. You know when it appears? When the people of Israel said to God, all right, all that God says to us, we can do it. Man has boasted in his efforts. Moses, tell them, from now on, I'll come to them in a thick cloud. Now, when Jesus came to bring us the new covenant, church, good news. You know, when he was transfigured, his face shone, his clothing shone. In fact, the Bible says even his face was a different kind of face. It's a glorious face. All right, the fashion of his face was changed. He was shining bright. I'm telling you, even Steven Spielberg cannot do it. I'm telling you, he was shining on the mountain. And then Peter, James, and John, whose name means the stone has been replaced, supplanted by grace. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, all right, Moses appeared, who represents the law. Then Elijah appeared, that represents the prophets. Amen. And Jesus was in the center. And then Peter spoke. Good for us to be here, Lord. Good. Now we can build three booths. One for you. It probably happened during the Feast of Sukkot, the booths, tabernacles. It's good for us to be here. We can build three Sukkot, three shelters, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, putting Jesus on the same level as the law and the prophets. Then the Bible says, while Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud, not dark cloud. Because where Jesus is, there cannot be a dark cloud. Wherever Jesus is, it's bright. It's a bright cloud. We are in the new covenant. We are sons of grace. We're not sons of the law. It's a bright cloud. Overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Correcting your know-who. Hear him. Not hear them. Not hear the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah. But only Jesus. Hear him. Grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hear him. And God says, hear him, right? You know what's the next words that came from Jesus' mouth? The disciples were trembling. Jesus says, arise and don't be afraid. That's the Savior that we need to listen to. Words of grace. And the church is confused. The church pulpit is in Mount Sinai, and then they are preaching grace sometimes, and then they go back to Mount Sinai. And then when, you know, they're going to, and some people have moved completely over to Mount Zion. Thank God. By the way, you know, the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, you know where it happened? It happened in Mount Zion. Today, Today, when you go to Israel and you ask to be shown the place where Pentecost happened, they'll bring you to Mount Zion. They call it Mount Zion. They have an upper room there. We do not know whether it's the same upper room. I don't think it is. The same location is there though. But don't forget, it was a house. And where were the disciples? They were in an upper room. Now watch this. When the law was given, all right? Now this is Acts 1. When they had entered, the disciples, they went up into the upper room. Say upper room. They were staying there in the upper room. That's when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. They were in the upper room. Say upper room. But when the law was given on Mount Sinai, go back to the law again. In Mount Sinai, where were they? They stood at the foot of the mountain. So, under law, they were standing as servants. Where? At the foot of the mountain. At least mountaintop can breathe fresh air, you know. But at the foot of the mountain. But the day of Pentecost for the believer, where were the believers? They were in the upper room. Don't forget, the upper room is the house that is built on top of Mount Zion. It's the very top. On top of Mount Zion. The law was given at the foot. To people at the foot of the mountain. Grace is given to people sitting, not standing. Sitting in the upper room. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many people were in the upper room? 120. All right, go back to Acts 1. All right, all these lists are given. Even Jesus' mother is there. His brothers, drop down. Verse 15. And altogether, the names was about 120. Now, does that ring a bell? Yes. There are, numbers are very important in the Bible. They carry significance. They carry meaning. One, unity. Two, agreement. Three, resurrection or completion. All right. Four, earth. Earth. All right. Four directions. North, south, east, west. Amen. Earth, creation. Then five, grace. Six, man. Seven, perfection. Eight, new beginning. Nine, judgment or the Holy Spirit's number. All right, 10, law, ordinance, and on and on. Now, 120, when was it first mentioned? In the book of Genesis. God says, from now on, man's life will only be 120. My spirit will not strive with man always. His life will now be only 120. Which means what? End of human effort, 120. Beginning of the Spirit. End of law, beginning of grace. End of human effort, beginning of rest. Hallelujah. Can I have a good amen, church? Where else do you find 120? Solomon's temple. Remember Solomon, the son of David? When he built God a most magnificent building for God's dwelling, called Solomon's temple. On the day of the dedication of the temple, you know how many priests he had? 120. Look at 2 Chronicles 5. With them, 120 priests. 120. You know what's their song? Would you like to know the song they sang? You don't want to know, so I'll let you know. The next verse. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying what? For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Next. So that the priest could not continue ministering. Actually, the word continue is a bad translation here. The original Hebrew says stand. They could not stand. That means they fell. They fell under the power of God, or they were kneeling down. No one could stand. The power of God was so strong. The glory of God. It filled the whole house of God. Hallelujah. How many of them? 120 priests. What were they singing? Go back to the top charts, the hit song at that time. The song says, God even gives you the lyrics. It says, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. For our friends in Israel, all right, it says, ki tof, ki le'olam hasdo. All right, he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, obviously God loved this word so much, he filled the whole house with his glory. Notice the two things God wants you to sing always, talk about, preach on, is that God is good and his mercy endures forever. God is good and his mercy endures forever. God is good and his mercy endures forever. Many years ago, all right, God gave me a song when I spent time with him, and it came like this. Praise the Lord, for he's so good, and his love and yours forever. Praise the Lord, for he is good, and his love and yours forevermore. So every ministry, every songwriter, every worship leader, every church, everyone that builds their life, all right, and their ministry on these two truths, and emphasize on these two truths. God is good, and his mercy is chesed, where we have learned is grace. Because today when you go to Israel and you ask the Israeli believers, all right, the Jewish believers, you ask them for their Bible, their New Testament is in Hebrew. All right, translated by one of top Hebraists called Delitzsch, a believer, all right, who is a Jew. And he's known as a top Hebraist. And you know, everywhere you find grace in the New Testament, like grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, is the word chesed. Is this word. So God is good and his grace endures forever. I know of one ministry in America. Every time you watch him, he's always saying, God is good. He loves you. God is good. And God is blessing him. And there are people who are jealous. They're just people, you know, not happy. Well, I think that he should have more theology. Well, the sum total of all theology is God is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Every ministry that emphasizes on God's grace, his mercy, his grace, his goodness, God's going to bless. Amen. Every songwriter that writes about God's goodness, expound on God's goodness, mention of God's goodness, focus people's minds on God's goodness, God's grace, will be blessed. I mean, God was so pleased, God filled the whole house. Okay, let's go back to Mount Sinai. All right? So that's what happened, church. Now, we all know, when God gave the law on the day of Pentecost at Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died. You know, in the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, God gave the Spirit where? On Mount what? Zion. 3,000 people were saved. 3,000. Same number. Which goes to show what? The law kills. Grace gives life. Grace gives life. How about you? Have you moved your house? Your family? Your finances? Your career? Your belief especially? From Mount Sinai to Mount Zion? From law to grace? And some people have 2 foot. On each mountain, or 1 foot on each mountain. Amen. And sometimes grace, sometimes law. Sometimes grace, sometimes law. Grace, law. And then they say, you must be balanced. You call this balance? Look in the mirror. Okay, now, what in the world is going on? What's happening around the world? We're coming to it right now. Are you ready?
Yes.
Go back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 says, you have now come to Mount Zion. We have not come to the mount that burned with fire, darkness, tempest, that even Moses was so afraid. Moses accidentally feared and quake, right? We are not come to that mountain. I say we are not come to that mountain. We are not come to Mount Sinai. We are finished with Mount Sinai. In fact, over here, you don't even find in Mount Sinai, God is there anymore. But you, child of God, have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So many angels, you can't even count them. Amen. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Now, the spirits of just men made perfect is you and I. Amen. And notice God is there. We are there. All right. Don't be afraid of the word judge of all, because this gives us security. God is judging us, the next line, as righteous men made perfect. Amen. Do you know this? If I stand before God and today God says, you know, I'm in the mood to pronounce you righteous. I'm just in the mood, merciful mood. How many know that as I stand before God, I'm not very secure. I'm okay today, but tomorrow I'm not so sure. But if I stand before God as judge, and he looks at me as a judge, and he says, you know what? I see no sin on you. I see the perfection of my son, and I judge you righteous. I judge you perfect in my eyes. Am I perfect in my actions? No. Am I perfect in his eyes? Yes. Is Jessica perfect in her actions? No. Is Jessica perfect in my eyes? You bet. She's the best daughter anyone can ask for. Perfect, I can see no wrong. I do correct her, but I can see no wrong. But in my case, I can be prejudiced. All right? In God's case, God cannot. He whose eyes is holy and perfectly pure, all right, sees accurately like no man can. And he sees us standing before him in all the full glory of the finished work of Christ. Amen. At one time, when I was a sinner without Christ, God's holy eyes cannot behold one trace of righteousness. Not one. Today, because of Jesus' blood that has washed me, I stand before God and God's holy eyes cannot detect one speck of sin. Amen. Does that give glory to me? No, it gives glory to the one who shed his blood. How perfect his work is. Amen. Will you keep that in mind when you come to God? Church, which foundation are you on? No wonder people are shaking. No wonder Christians are fearful. They don't understand when they read, perfect love cast out fear. They think, I must love perfectly. Everything becomes man-centered. Perfect love is not your love, bro. You cannot love perfectly, neither can I. There's only one who can love us perfectly, and he loves us perfectly. And we understand he loves us perfectly. Perfect love casts out every fear from our hearts. All right, so we have come to this mountain, Mount Zion. Next verse. We have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks better things. Better things. Better things than the blood of Abel. Who is Abel? Abel is the brother of Cain. The Bible tells us both brothers came to God. One offered salad, vegetables. Abel offered blood sacrifice. The first one acted like he didn't sin. There's no need to shed blood, innocent blood, to cover him. He acted like he has no sin. The second one says, I'm a sinner. That's why I must bring the lamb. The lamb is sacrificed in my place. The lamb's death is my death. The lamb's condemnation is my condemnation. And God pronounced Abel righteous. Is Abel righteous because he's a good man? No. Was Cain cursed because he's a bad man? No. It's what they trust. One trusts his works. That's the law. One trusts grace is the finished work. The blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? Then, there's a famous story. People under law, people who trust their efforts, are always angry and jealous of people who trust grace. In this case, he murdered his brother. So his brother died. Abel died. Now, there is a law of interpreting the Bible that is called the law of first mention. Say first mention. That means every time a subject is mentioned for the first time in the Bible, there is something significant. There is something important for us to take note. The first time blood is mentioned in the Bible is the blood of Abel. God told Cain, Cain, where is your brother? And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? He can talk to God like that. Then God says, the blood, the voice, God says, the voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. So the first mention of blood, God says, blood has a voice. Now today, CSI can prove that. All right? In the sense that even the criminal, the murderer has left the scene for many days. His blood can still speak. Are you with me? But what God is saying is even more than that, more than DNA. God is saying there is a voice in every blood. There is a voice. And the first time blood is mentioned, it tells us blood has a voice. But you know what the voice of Abel is crying out? Revenge! 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 Judgment on my murderer! Judgment on my murderer! Now Abel is dead, but his blood is not. His blood is still crying out. All right? Are you listening? Only God can hear that voice of the blood. Now, when Jesus' blood was shed, when they hit him because of you and I, He bore our diseases. He bore our sins. And they scourged him. And he got up again. And they scourged him. All right. Scattered pieces everywhere. Blood splattering on the soldier. And they laughed like a wild man. And they scourged him again. And he got up. And he, you know, no wonder his back was so battered. It's completely torn into ribbons. And they put a cross on him. He fell many times. And finally crucified him. Everywhere that his blood was shed. You know what is crying out? His blood. Mercy. Forgiveness. Pardon. Healing. Justification. Hallelujah. His blood speaks better things. I said his blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. You know where's Jesus' blood today? It's all in heaven. When you come to the Father, don't come trembling. You're not a Mount Sinai. You're not a servant. Stand up! And come to God boldly. He's your Father. Now, I welcome all these teachings today about the Hebrew names or the Old Testament revelation of God in his Hebrew names, all right? El Shaddai, Elohim, El Elyon, all these names. I've taught on all these names. They are all important. They all have their place. But the name that Jesus came to reveal is Father. Jesus prayed this prayer. Keep true thy name, Father, those you have given me. In other words, when you keep on saying, Father, Father, not just God. God has a sense of distance. Father is family. You're a son. Daddy God. Father. Daddy. You know what Jesus says? Keep true thy name. Protect true thy name. Keep means protect. There's protection in you using Father. Amen. There's protection for your emotions. There's protection for your health. There's protection for every time you say Father, you're not an orphan. Amen. One healing evangelist told me this. One of the biggest problems of people not being able to receive healing is an orphan spirit. And I said, wow. And here I am teaching people, all right, not to have an orphan spirit. You are not an orphan. Physically, you might be one, all right, but you have Father who watches over you. Jesus called him always, Father, my Father is with me. My Father doeth the works. My Father within me. My Father is with me. My Father has not left me. Except one time, he didn't call his Father, Father. And it was at the cross. When he looked up, he took your place. He took my place at the cross. He bore our sins. And then he looked up. He says, my God, for the first time. He didn't say, my Father. My God. So that you and I who have taken his place, we can say, my Father, my Father. And he says, why have you forsaken me? So that we can say, Father, why is it you never leave me? And God cannot leave you. God cannot. The price is paid. Even when you sin, especially when you sin, God is still with you. Amen. So that he can show you the way out. So he can help you. Hallelujah. That's what's happening. The voice of grace is released in the earth today. And it's causing a shaking. I'm getting ahead of myself, but listen, church. There's a voice in the blood. And the blood of Jesus speaks better things. You know what's the better things? The blood of Jesus speaks. You're a son, not a slave. God is your Father. God is not God far away. God is your Father. Amen. You're not a sinner anymore. You're righteous in God's eyes. Amen. You are healed by the stripe of Jesus. All right? You don't have shame from your past covering you today. You have favor covering you. Amen. The favor of God is your dressing. This is the blood that speaks better things. The blood has purchased for us all these things. It speaks better things. Are you listening, church? Amen. And it's still speaking today. Why? Because in the Greek, speaks there is present active participle. Present class. Present means what? Present tense. It's still happening. Active means what? It is active, not passive. All right, participle. Amen. It is constantly happening. Even right now, the blood of Jesus is speaking better things. Amen. Waiting for believers and waiting for believers to be believers. To believe the better things the blood is speaking of. To believe I'm a son, not a servant. Amen. To believe I am righteous, not a sinner. To believe God is my Father. To believe I have the favor of God. When I'm attacked and there are symptoms in my body, I am the healed having symptoms. I'm not trying to be healed. I am the healed. Church, all this is foundation is important. Amen. You got to make sure you're on Zion ground, grace ground. If you're on Sinai ground, no wonder you have this uncertainty. Another thing, the blood that speaks better things. The blood of Jesus is like him, eternal. Therefore, your forgiveness that he has bought, what do you think it is? Are you only saved today, forgiven today until your next sin? Or are you saved forever? Are you righteous forever? Are you redeemed forever? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Are you redeemed? Amen. Why? It's the blood. It's not your actions or your words. The blood of Jesus is eternal. Once upon a time, the blood of bulls and goats covered Israel's sin only for 1 year until the next Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Every year, it covers only for 1 year. But the blood of Jesus is not like the blood of bulls and goats. Hallelujah. It's the eternal blood of the Son of God. Hallelujah. And our forgiveness is eternal. Amen. Hallelujah. Apostle Prince, you believe once saved, always saved. Call it what you want. I call it honoring the blood of Jesus. If you believe anything less, you are bringing Jesus' blood to the level of blood of bulls and goats. Amen? This is the blood that speaks better things. It's waiting for people to believe. Then you know what it says in the next verse? This is awesome. This is very sobering. The next verse says, see that you don't refuse him who speaks. Now, speaks there refer to what? The blood that speaks better things. Now the warning comes. Don't refuse the blood that speaks better things. When God says you are righteous, don't say, no, lah, I'm not, lah. You know, I still sin. Don't see that you don't refuse that blood. Let me frighten you a bit. All right? Some Christians love frightening messages. So when they hear a message of grace, for example, they say, oh, not enough fear. Let me give you some fear. All right? Do not reject grace. The judgment is greater. When God says something that Jesus has done for you, believe it. Because it says, see that you don't, do not refuse him who speaks. Again, present active participle. For if they did not escape, they refer to the people under Moses, the people of the law, under Moses during Mount Sinai. If they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Law, God speaks from earth. Grace, God speaks from heaven. Amen. Are you listening? And those who reject, all right, those who broke God's law died. Okay, those under law, it says, how much sorrow judgment do you think those who reject grace? Listen carefully. Don't be frightened. It's not for you and I to be afraid. This book is written to the book of, is the book called the book of Hebrews. Hebrews are Hebrews, Jewish people. So what happened is this. Many of them, they hear the preaching of the apostles about Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus is the Messiah. All right, they are wondering, if I believe Jesus all the way, my friends will ostracize me, I'll be rejected by my family, and shall I go all the way? You know what I think I'll do? I'll put one foot on grace, and I'll put one foot on the law. I'll still go to temple, kill animals and all that. Every time they do that, they are negating the once and for all sacrifice. They are dishonoring what Jesus did. And then I'll go and meet them in the cell group, you know, in my friend's house, in the upper room somewhere, and I'll still go to a temple. And they are having law and grace. And that's what's happening today. Now listen. God says, believe all the way. Believe grace all the way. Believe the good news all the way. Believe you are safe forever all the way. Believe you are forgiven completely, past, present, and future. Hallelujah. Believe you are righteous and not a sinner. Believe that God's favor is on you and no shame is on you. Believe that God can never ever punish you again, and there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Believe all these good things. Because the idea here is that if you don't believe these good things, something will happen, something nasty, something bad will happen because you don't believe. It's not from God. It's not from God. It's a consequence of not believing the right thing. Because you don't believe the right thing, you're on the wrong foundation. So even though you are safe, but you're believing wrong, you are shaking all the time. You are worried all the time. You are not secure all the time. You look at people and say, God blesses Pastor Daniel more because he's closer to God. God blesses Pastor Henry more, he's closer to God. God blesses the pastors because they are pastors. And God, you know, for me, what am I? I'm just a wife, you know. I'm just a simple homemaker. I don't know anything. Your mind is on Mount Sinai. When God says your salvation is forever, not until your next sin, believe it. Yes. When you believe it, you're on solid foundation. Now, okay, the bad things the devil wants to bring. You are protected. When he hits your heart with accusation, you haven't prayed enough. You haven't read enough. You haven't done this enough. Haven't done that enough. He's attacking your heart. Bang! It falls off. You know why? Breastplate of righteousness. You believe you are righteous in Christ. Bounce off. And then he takes aim and he aims at your head. All right? Your future is dark. But I believe the same Father who gave his Son for me watches over me, because if he gave up his Son, the very best heaven has, how will he not with his Son also freely give me all things? So my future is bright. And now he shoots my head with bad thoughts and fiery dart. Bounce off. Helmet of the hope of salvation. Amen. So the warfare is all about, the devil can only succeed in the areas that you're not being taught about the covenant, new covenant realities. Well, Pastor Prince, I am just of the persuasion, if you believe in grace, all well and good. But I believe in the Lord and I believe in grace both. I believe in both and all that. Is there a consequence? Yes, there is. Because this voice that is shaking everything, now we come to the shaking and then we'll close. All right? Whose voice then shook the earth. God's voice shook the earth. But now, the voice of grace, God has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. You know, when God spoke on earth in Mount Sinai, God can only shake the earth. The heaven is not where God dwells. This is not the third heaven. This is the heaven where there are evil spirits. All right? There are principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. This is the place. But grace, the voice of grace, God says, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven, where all the evil spirits are. God is shaking them out of their hiding places. God is shaking them out. How? To the voice of grace. The voice that the blood that speaks better things is speaking today. Every time we repeat what the blood says, all right, evil spirits are being shaken out of the hiding place in your family life, in your children's life, everywhere that it has gained a foothold, it's been shaken out. God, who is doing the shaking? God says, I shake. Not only the earth, but also heaven. Next verse. We'll finish at 29. Now this, yet once more means what? When God says yet once more means what? One more time, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. In the past, only the earth, but now heaven and earth. This once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So this shaking is good. God is shaking the whole earth today so that everything that is man-made is falling down. Everything that is man-made is going to pieces. Everything that is man-made is dissipating. So everything that remains is solid. Everything that's of God. Are you listening, people? But Pastor Prince, isn't it better not to shake anything? Let's say you live in a 7-story building. Apartment, okay? In a 7-story. 70-story. Apartment. It's a very tall building, isn't it? You're on the 50th floor. And one day you feel the building shaking. What do you do? Do you start running, shaking? What do? You run down. You leave the building. Let's say after you run down and you leave the building, 1 hour after you're outside, the whole building collapsed. Let me ask you a question. Are you grateful for the shaking? Are you grateful for the shaking? Had it not been for the shaking, you will be in the building. Do you understand? Many of us have false security. We are building our marriage on shaky foundation. Some people, you ask them, why you get married? Oh, all my friends expect us to. What? What if one day those friends are no more your friends? What is your reason for staying married? It should be the Lord bringing you both together. Even if you're not Christians, you come together, it still can be the Lord after that. All right, for those who are already married. Your finances. Many of you, you trust your smarts to create wealth. Sometimes your smarts, it has a bit of cunningness, deception, bluffing. Sometimes almost close to conning. You manipulate. You position yourself. You drop names. And then you get the money. Then you get safe. You become a believer. And you're still practicing the same old way. Guess what? Something will be shaken. Because if it is not, you will lose everything in one day. And the shaking is not bad. It's something good. So that you will build your finances now, all right, on rock solid foundation that cannot be shaken. So that things that cannot be shaken may remain. Your finances will remain. Your health will remain. Your family will remain. Your marriage will remain. God wants everything good in your life to remain. That's why the shaking happens. So you put your finances on Christ alone. And the best is tithing and offering. Some people trust more in investment, all right, and commerce, in creating wealth. God's way is tithing and offering. Go back to God's ways. It's rock solid. There's so many things that we believe wrongly. And we don't understand. Why is God shaking? God, stop the shaking! And God loves us so much to stop the shaking. He's shaking those things that are man-made. The word made there in the Greek is man-made. Or it can also be demonically inspired. You know, disease is never God-made. Disease is demonically made. If there is a tumor in someone's body, it's made not by God, it's made by the devil. Okay? Now, one time, years ago, I gave a word to a brother who had a tumor in his body. And this was the word that God gave me. It's amazing. God says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And all of a sudden, the word formed jumped out at me. Formed, E-D, already formed. Even though it's formed already by the devil, in your body, it will still not prosper. It is already formed, you understand or not? The tumor has been formed by the devil, but no weapon formed, even formed already, past tense, will prosper against you. And now God is shaking. Guess what? Everything that is man-made breaks down. Everything is demonically inspired. That includes tumors, disease. So the things that cannot be shaken, divine health remains. I got to bring this to a close. Come on, help me. Help me. Are you with me, church? Come on. God is shaking. Supposing I come to your house. Some of you are saying, but I, you know, this shaking is not comfortable. Yes. Because you've been sitting on false security. If all the while right now you're in a building that will collapse in the next hour, let's say. All right? You still feel secure? Your seat is comfortable? No, don't worry, okay? It's not a word from God, okay? Nothing's going to collapse here. Amen? I'm in here. Praise God. Anyway, nothing will collapse. I'm giving you an illustration. Aren't you glad that there's warning? Many people, there are tragedies, no warning. They say no warning at all. Thank God for the shaking. It wakes you up to make you realize, am I trusting in false security? Am I trusting in something that makes me feel good right now, but it's not based on God? It's not based on Christ and His finished work? Hey, we are grateful that it's exposed. Aren't you glad when God exposed some wrong foundations in your marriage, in your relationship, in your finances, in your health? There's not that some areas are built on Christ and His finished work, but this area is not. Are you listening, church? So thank God there's a shaking going on. And the shaking is not shaking the good things out of your life. It's shaking everything that is man-made. Everything that is devil-made is all being shaken. So that things that cannot be shaken may remain. And what is causing the shaking? The voice of grace. In other words, people on grace, it's never like they're on Mount Sinai. The law is always shaking. But those on Mount Zion cannot be shaken forever. Amen, church. Praise the name of Jesus. Just last few days, and I'm going to close with this. Last few days. We didn't read the other two verses. Huh? Let's finish the verse first. Therefore, since. You know what's therefore? When you read a therefore in the Bible, find out why it is therefore. It is therefore because of the previous verses. It's telling you. You know what's shaking everything that's man-made? The voice of grace. The voice that speaks better things. All right? If you believe that the blood of Jesus has justified you, you're on solid foundation. You'll not be shaken. If you believe it's by Jesus' stripes you are healed, not your efforts, you're on solid foundation. If you believe you have eternal security in the blood of Christ that is eternal, you have solid foundation. Amen. So, church, if you believe the right things about what Jesus has done, you'll never be shaken. It's the voice of grace that's shaking everything, because God loves people and God wants them to have solid foundation. Are you listening, people? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Let us have what? Grace. Now, only when you have grace, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Some people say, well, people, you know, people of grace, they don't preach on reverence and godly fear. My friend, it's only when you have grace, let us have grace by which. That means only by grace you can serve God with reverence and godly fear. Amen. It's grace that is the focus. Or else your fear of God is slavish fear. It's a Mount Sinai fear. But when you have grace, it's truly a fear that honors Him, Amen. Respects Him, worships Him. Let us have grace. And the word have is in the Greek present active subjunctive. All right, present active means possess it. Have this grace. Number one, make sure you're listening to sermons of grace. Amen. Amen. Subjunctive mood in the Greek means it may or may not happen depending on the person. In other words, there are believers who hear this message and they don't hold on to grace. There are those who believe it and they hold on. That's why it's a subjunctive mood. That's what a subjunctive mood means in the Greek. Let us be among those who hold on to grace. Amen. Amen? And not to the law, not to human effort. For our God is a consuming fire. How many times we hear this verse quoted out of context? God is a consuming fire, so you better live holy. Or our God is a consuming fire. Actually, the context there is this. He will consume everything that's not grace. That's why churches are being shaken all over the world. Because they are preaching things that put one foot on Mount Sinai, one foot on Mount Zion. And God is shaking. And the people are being shaken. Why? Because God loves them. Amen. God loves His people. But when you believe the truth, the fire comes. Everything is grace. You see, if all my blessing depends on His grace, not by goodness, guess what? I'm blessed, man. If my healing depends on His grace and not my goodness, guess what? I'm healed. So God wants to bring us to a place where everything depends on Him. And we are all debtors to grace. Amen, church? Can I pray that for you? Yes. Amen, that your foundation will not be destroyed. Amen, you'll not be on the wrong foundation, rather, but you'll be on the foundation of grace. Is that okay? All right, let us pray. Let us pray right now. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this place. All right? Now, I want you to tell the Lord yourself, Father, I want my foundation to be on grace, on the finished work of Christ, on what your Son has done, on all that He is. Tell the Lord that. Tell the Lord that. Lord, I may not understand everything, but I want my foundation, everything in my life, to be built on Jesus Christ and His finished work. Just tell the Lord that. He honors that prayer. Pray that. Go ahead. Pray that. And then tell Him, I give you my marriage. I give you my children. I give you my health. I give you my financial life. I give you my future and my entire life. Bring them all, Lord, to Mount Zion. Bring them all to the blood that speaks better things. everything that's man-made, everything that is demonically made, shake it out of my life, Father. In Jesus' name. And let my life remove false security. Father God, I ask you, remove false security right now out of the hearts and the lives of people, Lord. Every security, Lord, that's not based on Christ and the finished work is a false security. Remove that, Lord, before it's too late. Remove that, Lord, I pray, from the lives of your people, from my life. In Jesus' name, I ask. Let every part of our life, Lord, be built on Jesus Christ and his finished work. On your grace, in Jesus' name. We possess your grace now, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, for he is good. And his grace endures forevermore. Now, with every head bowed, if you are here today and you say, Pastor Prince, I know now why I came. God brought me here that I might be saved, that I might put my trust in Christ who is unshakable. I want to put my trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of my sins. My friend, I'm so glad you are here today because you are hearing good news. Jesus Christ, who shed his blood at Calvary's cross, that blood does not speak judgment. That blood speaks mercy and grace. That blood speaks your forgiveness. Because Jesus shed his blood, your sins can be washed away. Because Jesus shed his blood, God will pronounce you righteous. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ and his blood alone, and stop trusting yourself, and stop trusting your own efforts. If that is you, wherever you are, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now from your heart. Remember this, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. Now pray this right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I put my trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood at Calvary's cross. His blood that speaks better things in my life. Thank you, Father God. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, now and forever. Thank you, Father. My sins are forgiven. Thank you, Father. You raised Christ from the dead as a declaration. All my sins are put away forevermore. Thank you, Father. Your favor rests on me. I'm standing on grace ground. Grace is my foundation, now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
This month, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry, we would like to send you Joseph's 3-CD audio series, Fresh Favor for Right Now. Join Joseph as he reveals from the story of David the secret to increasing in God's unmerited favor and good success in every area of your life.
You're actually looking into the heart of David and finding the very reason why God liked David in a special way. David had a heart for the ark. He valued God's presence because it's the presence of Jesus that brings the blessing. Amen.
For a specific gift, you will also receive this brand new resource, Rest and Acceleration Package. Discover God's way of acceleration and learn how you can position yourself to receive the harvest of breakthroughs you have been trusting God for.
God is saying when you enter his rest this year, things are going to accelerate for you. Things that will take months, things that will take years, will accelerate and manifest this year.
Request these timely resources and experience his fresh favor today. Call us toll free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
As you worship the Lord, God fights your battles. Worship in Greek is pros, kunio. Pros is to come close, kunio, kiss. When we worship God, we are coming close to God to kiss.
I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online. So if you're looking to be part of a community of grace believers, join us for service every Sunday. God bless you, and I'll see you online for church this weekend.
Join our digital service every Sunday at gracerevonline.com.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.